Regan with Nesting Those Realty, powered by eXp Realty here in Asheville, North Carolina, where my team and I are helping dozens of people relocate to the Asheville area. Living in Asheville podcast, just like my YouTube channel, is all about living, breathing, going to school, having babies, different neighborhoods, different parts of town, different towns around Asheville, everything you need to know about living and moving to the Asheville area. If you need help relocating to Asheville, North Carolina, reach out to me and my team. Our contact information is down in the description.
My team and I have so many people reaching out who either want to buy land and build on it, or they're trying to find a house and they can't because inventory has been so low, it's virtually impossible to find something these days. And then they decide, okay, maybe instead of buying a house, we can find land and build on it. It might be easier, and which is why I wanted to start with mistake number one that pretty much everyone makes when coming to the new area and assuming a lot of things about it. Number one, going for the cheapest option. I said it many times in other videos that when it's cheap, it's steep. And this is so true in Asheville, North Carolina. It is virtually impossible to buy any good quality land in the Asheville area that would cost $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per acre. If you see some magic numbers like that anywhere on Zillow, Realtor.com, Facebook, Marketplace, on MLS, that price per acre is $30,000, $50,000, it means the quality of the lot will not be there. And what I mean by the quality is that it's going to be steep. It's not going to be a flat lot where you can come and build your house and it's going to be nice and flat and you're not going to have a driveway that's going to be like this or like that. You're going to actually have some yard for gardening or playing with your dog or playing with kids. You're going to have some usable yard. It's not going to be a cliff. It's not going to be side of the mountain. And a lot of these lots that are listed for $30,000, $50,000, and when you look, actually break it down price per acre, and it comes to, you know, $30,000, $50,000 per acre, those lots will be like this. They will be steep, and that is why they are cheap. The telltale sign that the quality of the lot is just not there is when you look at the days on the market, the price per acre, and if the price is too good to be true, and the days on the market are in the 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 days on the market, it doesn't mean that somebody, everyone else is just waiting for you to come and pick that lot up and build your dream house on it. No, there's a reason for it. It's because the lot is steep. And I've seen some steep lots. I mean, it is scary to even look at them, to even walk them. It's, in fact, impossible to walk those lots because you come to the edge of the road, you look down and you think, if I'm gonna slip, I'm gonna fall and probably die. They are that steep. So do not go for the cheapest option. You might think that you're gonna save a lot of money up front by buying something cheap, but the cost of foundation, the cost of grading and preparing the lot for to build a house will be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mistake number two. A lot of people who are reaching out to me and my team request not to look for land in HOAs. They do not want to deal with HOAs and their restrictions. And it is true. You know, a lot of HOAs here in this area can be a little more restrictive and protective. But the mistake here is that a lot of people just think about HOAs and restrictions coming from HOAs and not thinking about other restrictions. And other restrictions can come from, like I said, HOAs. They can also come from zoning. So verifying the zoning and what you can and cannot do on the property is very, very important. You do not want to have a surprise after the fact that you cannot build a house or the size of the house that you wanted because the lot is too small and the setbacks are too big, or you cannot have a second dwelling unit in the backyard because, again, either setbacks or it just the zoning does not allow that. So you want to find all that out ideally before you even make an offer. If not you, it's your realtor. It's your realtor's job. And number three, restrictions can also come from deed. Some deeds will have restrictions written into them. And it might not pertain to other parts of the country, but here in Western North Carolina, we have a lot of properties that are mobile homes. They're not stick builds, they're mobile homes, mobile home parks. We have a lot of that here. And some deeds have language written into them that no mobile homes are allowed to be built on this property, or no mobile home parks, or no farm, or no this or that. It can be pretty much anything. Whatever the previous owner written into the deed, now it's gonna run with the land. So paying attention to restrictions coming not only from HOAs and associations, but also from zoning and deeds is important, and you and your realtor need to verify it before you even make an offer. Mistake number three. Some people want to save money, they want to cut corners, and I get it. It can be very expensive, but not doing a survey before you actually buy a property can come back and bite you. And what I mean by that is that survey is the only way for you to know exactly where the property lines are, where the property corners are, so you know exactly what you can build, where you can build it, and you're not going to be encroaching to your neighbor's property. Also, survey will reveal things like encroachments to your property, potentially from other neighbors. Surveys will reveal things like easements that your property might have. So all those things are super important. Another thing to consider is that survey also guarantees you that you will be protected by title insurance if something happens down the road and, you know, there's a dispute about property lines or encroachments, anything like that. If you do not have a survey in your name at the time of purchase of this property, of a property, title insurance will not cover any kind of issues down the road that have to do with boundary lines. So yes, it's expensive. And to give you an idea, I want to say properties up to an acre, maybe less, half an acre, cost as much as $1,200-$1,500 to have a survey done on them. So yes, it is expensive, but again, it can save you money, headache, and stress down the road. Take number four, not verifying utilities. This is huge here in Western North Carolina because we have a lot of properties, even in city limits, that will not have access to city water and city sewer. There's so many different ways that all these vacant lots and vacant land can kind of have in terms of utilities and access to utilities. You really need to make sure you know what a particular lot will have. Even if it says in MLS that this or that lot has access to city water, city sewer, you and your realtor need to verify that information. Trust, but verify. Basically, don't trust anybody. If it already tells you that there is no city water, city sewer available on the property, then what it means is that you would need to have your private septic and your private well. Now, unfortunately, you cannot test whether or not you're going to be able to drill a well and drill a good well and how deep it's going to be on your vacant lot. It's kind of like a big unknown, kind of like the cost of foundation, big unknown, right? It's the same with the cost for building a well. You're not going to know it until you actually build the house and they're going to have to drill a well. One of my clients and I just met with a builder a couple days ago to take a look at a couple vacant lots that she narrowed down to. And I asked him about that particular community, whether or not, you know, they've seen dry wells there, or how deep those wells could be from their experience, because you just always want to kind of chat with people, with neighbors, with builders, anybody who has to do anything with that particular spot, that particular community, that particular area, and get an idea what to expect. It's not going to guarantee you anything, but at least you have an idea. And if you start hearing, you know, like a trending issue, then it can be a red flag. So anyways, he said that they built a house for somebody and they had to drill a well that was 1,000 feet deep. It cost them $40,000. I heard other stories when people spend $25,000 drilling a well on the property, could not get any water. They had to drill another well at a different spot on the property to finally find water, and it was still dry well. They had to build a storage tank to collect water, because it was just not enough for the number of bedrooms and for the number of people in the house. It was a dry well. So that's not to scare anybody, but I just want to throw it out there because it is possible. There's always a chance, and drilling a well is a big unknown. Now, as far as septic, you can actually do a perk test and find out whether or not the soil will perk and you'll be able to install your septic on the vacant lot. It's not the easiest process, depending on the county, if you're gonna go through a county. And going through the county is the cheapest way. It is the longest way. Some counties, like Buncombe County, Henderson County, can be up to 8 to 12 weeks out on coming out and doing those perk tests. And so you're going to have an 8-12 week due diligence period. Don't worry, sellers know that that's how long it's going to take to do a perk test. Typically it's not an issue, but it can take a while. You can also go through a private soil scientist and they can do it a lot quicker, 1 or 2 weeks, but they can cost anywhere from $1,500 to $3,500. I know, it's big ouch, but those are the options. But doing perk test is a must. I always, always tell people to do perk test, because again, you do not want to have that surprise come up when you start building a house. Verifying internet is another super important thing to do for 99% of people, because for 99% of people these days, the ability to have high-speed internet or not have it is a deal breaker. Am I right or am I right? Because a lot of people work from home, and in any case, internet is a must for most people these days. So verifying that you're going to have access to high-speed internet, just because, just from my past experience, just because the sellers or the neighbors said yes, this or that company said that we're gonna have high-speed internet, or the neighbors have high-speed internet with that particular company, doesn't mean that you will have high-speed internet here. You need to call and verify with the internet provider and write down the name, whoever told you that there will be internet, and I'm not joking, write down a name that they said yes, that only then, you know, it's okay to proceed, so to speak. Other utilities include like underground power, or maybe it's not an underground power, but you need to make sure that you're going to have access to underground utilities. And same with city water that you might have to tap into somebody else's line, neighbor's line, or underground utilities. You need to make sure that you will be able to tap into that line that maybe not quite at your property, not quite at the road, and you might have to go through the neighbor's yard, even if it's a little corner, going through the neighbor's yard. You need to make sure that you will be able to have not just access, but recorded access in the form of easement, recorded easement. Again, you do not want to find all that out after the fact, because once you close and find out that those two neighbors hated each other, and there is no way in hell that neighbor will give access through their property to provide access to the utilities, then you're screwed. Basically, you know, you're going to have to either find somewhere else to tap into, and it might cost a lot more money to run, you know, longer length, or you're just screwed and you're not going to be able to have utilities. So verify all this before you actually close on the property. Verify access to the property. And again, it may not be as common in other areas, more urban areas in the country, but here, there's, of course, a lot of lots like this one where I'm standing right now. Here's road frontage, and, you know, every lot is platted. It is a master planned community. Every lot is platted and has road frontage. It has road access. The developer provides all that, and you can see it. I mean, you can come and see, do a survey, and you have access. You have road frontage. It's not always that straightforward when you're buying lots in the open, so to speak, that are not in HOAs, that are not in platted developments and subdivisions. Sometimes you come look at the property, and yes, you park on the road, but this road frontage, it provides access to a property, and your property might be behind that property, and you have to walk to take a look and, you know, walk the land and make sure that that's the land. But how do you access it? Just because you can walk to it now when you're looking at the property does not mean that you're going to be able to access it while you're going to be building a house. So you need to make sure that you're going to have recorded easement or right of way before you buy and close on the property. And not only that, you need to make sure, again, it's not every situation is that straightforward. You need to make sure that the right of way or easement is wide enough, big enough for construction trucks, for construction vehicles to go through, because, you know, not every road will be, an access will be straight. Sometimes it can be curvy up and down the mountain. You need to make sure it's going to be wide enough for big machinery to be able to go up or down that mountain, lot, whatever that is. And mistake number five is not taking time to talk to a builder before you even make an offer. A lot of times you don't need to make an offer to bring a builder and take a look at the lot and tell you his or her opinion about what is it that you're buying. Again, a couple days ago when a client of mine and I went to meet a couple builders to look at a couple lots that she was looking at, one of the builders, you know, said one thing. The second builder right away said, okay, why is this lot so flat? It is a mountainous community. Every other lot is like this. Why is this lot so flat? It makes me think that this might be a filled-in lot. When they were building the community and when they were scraping all and shaping all the roads, it looks like that all the dirt was just pushed to the side, and that's why the portion of that lot is flat. I would not have caught it. Certainly my client would not have caught it, but that's what he said. And sure enough, when I reached out to the developer, he confirmed that that lot was filled in. According to the builder, is that it can be more expensive to build on a lot like this because the soil is not so compact or compacted as regular soil. So it can be more expensive to build on a lot like this. And certainly you would want to know whether or not that lot was filled in or it's naturally flat, which, again, we don't have a lot of those here. And generally, you know, it's a good idea to talk to a builder just because they can give you an idea without commitment right there at the spot, but can give you an idea how much to expect to build on a lot like this. How much it would be to build a foundation on a lot like this. Are we talking $100,000, $50,000, or $300,000? Because a lot is like that, and you want those views, and you want to be there, but this is what you need to expect when you're building on a lot that is very steep. Another mistake that I see a lot of people make is not walking the land. And you might think, okay, well, duh, it's obvious, right? You would not buy a house most of the time without actually stepping foot into it. I mean, we've had quite a few, actually, number of sight unseen sales in this area. I had clients who bought houses sight unseen, but I, as their representative, always walked the property before they even made an offer, not talking about closing on a property. Same with land. You need to be able to walk the land, make sure that you know that this is the land that you're buying, especially if you're not making a survey, if you're not doing a survey. You need to make sure that you know that what you're buying, that's number one, and that you're buying the right property. It happened before, thankfully, not to me or my clients, but I've heard these horror stories that people thought that they're buying this lot, but in reality, they bought neighbor's lot. And that's because they did not verify, them and their realtor did not verify anything. And we have our tools in our realtor toolbox, so to speak, that let us at least see where those property lines are. Walk the lot, make sure that you know where the property lines, and make sure that you know what kind of terrain you have. Because again, here in Western North Carolina, it is not as straightforward. We don't have flat land where you can just see far and visualize everything. No, it can drop, it can go up. There's all these different options here. You need to make sure you know what you're dealing with. Another bonus is for developers and investors. If you're looking to buy, let's say, big piece of property to develop, maybe you're a developer, maybe you're a builder, or maybe you're just flipping land, you know, you're buying raw land and putting all the infrastructure, all the utilities, connections, all that, and then selling it to the builder, to a developer. You need to look not only at the price, but you need to talk to an engineer to make sure that you know exactly how many units this tract of land will have, can take, will be approved for before you commit to a property. And that, you know, the number of units will dictate the value of that particular lot and the price. Also, the due diligence period for you as an investor or a developer can take up to a year in this area. That is not uncommon. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, one lot where you're going to just build a house or maybe two properties. I'm talking about big piece of land that where you're going to develop into subdivision development. It can take up to a year. And it takes that long because you would want to make sure you have utilities, you're going to have access to utilities, you're going to have all your engineer reports and have engineers look at everything and tell you, you know, what you can do and all that good stuff. And also, you may or may not have to do rezoning, and that can take a long time. So a year of worth of due diligence period for a big developer, for a big tract of land, is not completely uncommon for Western North Carolina.
Thank you for listening. Do not forget to hit the follow button and leave us a review to help this podcast grow. You can also watch the videos on my YouTube channel. The link to it will be in the description. Reach out if you need any kind of help relocating to the Asheville area. And I will talk to you next time.